Bibles then to Galatians chapter 5. We've been looking at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking about being filled with the Spirit, which comes full circle, the same as walking in the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit. Walking is that manner of life, our behavior. Our behavior must be that of the Spirit of God. And so we see that we've been talking about Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We saw the command, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We then went to verse 17. We saw the conflict of the Spirit, the conflict, which was for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another. You cannot do the things that you would. And we talked about how we struggle in our flesh, but we can have that victory in Christ because we are dead to sin. And then he goes right after that. He look at verse 18, which we'll look at this evening. It says, but notice again, there's the conjunction. Verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit. And you're not going to feel the lust of the flesh. That's a wonderful promise. If you fulfill the lust of your flesh, if I fulfill the lust of my flesh, I am not walking in the Spirit. I don't care what you think. You are not walking. I am not walking. I can think, oh, I'm this, and I'm the pastor. I'm this, and I'm this, or I grew up in this home, or I this, or this, and I've been. No, if you're walking in the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. And that should not satisfy the believer. The problem is, yeah, well, we all do it. That's not the attitude of a Spirit-filled, walking in the Spirit believer. No, that is one that's grieved because you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And you can't please God by that. And so here comes the contrast. We see that conflict. But then he comes with a real positive, really encouragement, a confident saying. Because who's he talking to here? He's talking to believers, isn't he? And he says, now, here's the command. You walk in the Spirit. You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. At the same time, there's a conflict. And our responsibility in that conflict is to what? Join the Spirit in that battle. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God dwells within you, and automatically, right then, at that very moment, he's in a battle with the flesh. He's fighting. And we, as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we realize that very work, he started that we need to join him. We don't do it because the Spirit and the grace of God's one who's enabled us, but we have to join him. And then he comes, and if you remember even last week, we talked about the factions for battling it is the focus we must have. Keep your commitment to please the Lord. The foresight, keep a proper view of the enemy. And then keep the enemy as far away as possible. And then keep constantly prepared for an attack. And he comes then, and he says, after this battle between the Spirit and the flesh, he comes, and we see verse 18, we see the believer's confidence. A great confidence that we can have in Christ. Because he says, now, but here's a contrast. Here's something different. Here's an encouragement. He says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So really, we're going to just break that verse up. It's been most of the time being led of the Spirit and then referring to that we are not under the law. But I'd like to compare three verses with you as we go through this, and we might even repeat these verses. But I want you to look at them, and I want you to see how the Bible parallels itself in truth. This is Paul speaking now. He's speaking to the church at Galatians. And he says, but now, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Galatians was written in 49 A.D., so it was one of the first books written in the New Testament. Paul wrote it. So Paul knew about this, didn't he, from the very first. Now I want to show you the parallel, how he now goes and he talks to another church, a church in Rome, which he wrote around 56, 57, something like that. AD. So when we come to look at that, those, when he's writing to Rome, it would be after he wrote to Galatians. And we do see that a lot of common denominators in the book to Galatians and the book to Romans, to the Roman church there. So turn over to keep your finger in here, know the command here, or it says, but if ye be led by the Spirit, okay, look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Okay, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. What does Galatians 5, 16 says? 18, it says, be led by the Spirit. Why? You're not under the law. You're not to be led by the law. Be led by the Spirit. No longer are you the law, led by the law. Law is what shows you the sin. Here's where we get to that privilege again, that want to. But notice what it says now in parallel, under verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but you're under what? Grace. So there's the enablement, isn't it? You are under grace. You're not under law. There's the enablement. He enables you. And then look at chapter 8 and verse 14. Look at chapter 8 and verse 14 then of Romans. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, there it is. If you be led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. It's really showing you you're genuinely saved. There's a confidence you can have. The Spirit of God is leading you. You know you're not under the law. You know that you're saved. Here it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. And so being the sons of God, by his grace, you are not under the law. As we put that all together. So as we look at that positive reinforcement, those who are being led by the Spirit, as we see in Galatians 5:18, are the same as those who are walked by the Spirit and vice versa in chapter 5, verse 16. And so we see all true believers, therefore, are being led by the Spirit. Do you see the combination? In other words, are you saved this evening? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? You are saved. You're led by the Spirit tonight. You are. You say, well, why do I? Well, we already know we do sin still because verse 17, he tells us. There's a fight. And in fact, it said, look at verse 13 of chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called in liberty, only use not liberty for the occasion of the what? Of the flesh. So you're going to sin. Don't use that excuse that it's okay. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not consume one another. So walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill that lust of talking and devouring and gossiping. And he says, so if ye be led by the Spirit, you've got to realize that all believers, therefore, are led by the Spirit, and that's a powerful influence that is being exercised upon and within by the Spirit. It's not a sporadic one, as if it's injected just now and then. Oh, now I'm doing okay. Oh, now I'm not doing okay. Bzz. Oh, it's coming. It's there. No. You have the Holy Spirit that indwells within you as a believer. He is always there. Now, whether you're filled by the Spirit, whether you're controlled by that, whether you're obeying what the Spirit is leading you to do. Did you know that you as a believer do not have to say, Holy Spirit, God, lead me to do right. Lead me in this. Don't have to. What you and I have to do is, Lord, help me to be submissive and lead and yield to your leading that you already are doing. Because he is. He says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're the Son of God. And you're not under the law. It's grace. It's all been lifted. You have that freedom. And so we realize that it's not sporadic. It's constant and steady. Notice it says they are being led. Now, even though we disobey the Spirit, and we certainly do, so the Spirit doesn't leave you alone. Think of that. You as a believer, you sin. He doesn't leave you alone. What he's doing is the Spirit of God is working in your life in repentance within your life. And we see that for as many then are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So we are admonished us to be led by the means of the Spirit. What is the benefit of that? Well, every child of God is being led by the Spirit. It's just constant all through Scripture. Now, those who are being led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. And in Scripture, they're described a certain way. In fact, because we see in chapter 8 where it says those that are led by the Spirit are sons of God, if you were to go back to verse 1 of chapter 8, those that are believers, they're being in Christ in verse 1. They're also described as walking according to the Spirit in verse 4 of chapter 8. In verses 9 and 11, they're described as being Spirit indwelt. And then in verse 13, they're described as putting to death the disgraceful deeds of the body, because the Spirit of God says, you walking in that, you're not going to fulfill the flesh. You're led by the Spirit. You're the sons of God. I'm leading you. And now we see that there's a battle. Join in the battle and have victory. And what is that meaning? Well, it means that there's sanctification involved. It's constant, effective, and it's beneficial. It influences. As the Holy Spirit exercises within our hearts and enables us to crush the power of indwelling sin in our hearts and lives, you can crush it because it's already crushed at the cross. And it says sin does not have dominion over you. And you say, but sometimes it seems like it does. It's because you and I as believers aren't yielding to the leading of the Spirit of God. And so we're not controlled by the Spirit of God, which is the same thing. So what's the influence that the Holy Spirit exercises in you? Well, it's constant. It's steady. As believers are being led. It's not a then and now. Or just meet at this certain time. It's corrective, not only constant, but it's corrective. In other words, putting to death the disgraceful deeds of the body by the means of the Spirit. It's controlling. In other words, to be led by the Spirit means more than just being guided by Him. It means more than merely pointing out the right way. One commentator said this, it reminds me so much of the Indian guide who pointed out the explorers the pass through the Rockies. In comparison to the people that led the blind man of Jericho to Jesus in Luke 18:40. Think of that. They pointed out the pass that way through the Rockies. The blind man, would it done any good to point him the way where Jesus was? Well, yeah, he's right over there. Go ahead, go down this road and this road and this road. No, what did they do? The Bible says that they what? They led him to Jesus. And once you receive Christ, you're no longer blind. He's leading you. And you need to follow. Just as blind man was led by people to Jesus, and Jesus healed the eyes and he could see. You see the blessings of that miracle. And so we realize merely pointing out the way to him would not have helped him, but the Holy Spirit leads believers. He becomes controlling influence in their lives, bringing them to that last glory. Did you know that's what he's trying to do in your life? In my life, right now he's the Spirit of God is leading me in what he's appointed for me, just as He has something specific for you as he's leading you, and it's all leading us to his glory. That day when we will see him face to face. Just as the three disciples saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration, we're going to see him in all his glory, in all his excellence, his unique excellence, which in Scripture is manifested many times as light and purity. It's going to, wow. That's what he's leading us to. He's leading us. And also, not only is it constant, corrective, and controlling, it's comforting. It helps and encourages. At the same time, the blind man was not carried to Jericho. He had to do his own what? Even though he was led, what did he have to do? He had to walk. He had to walk to Jericho. One theologian in his book by name of Warfield said this: though it is indeed the Holy Spirit who keeps us in the path and brings us at last to the goal, it is we who tread every step of the way, our limbs that grow weary with the labor, our hearts that faint, our faith that revives our sinking strength, our hope that instills new courage into our souls as we toil over the steep ascent, which brings us blessings. You know the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them 85 by 85. Count them one by one. This is the very reason why he says, now the fruit of the Spirit is. And remember at the last, which we'll get to that in a couple weeks, in a few weeks we'll get to it. But it says, against such there is no law. What does that mean? It gives you the fruit of the Spirit. Against such there is a law, which is the inference that there's other fruits. And so what he's really saying, the list I've given you is incomplete. In other words, I'm saying against such, meaning against these and other fruits. There's no law. So there's he who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap what? Life everlasting. As he leads you, you and I will reap life everlasting. The tree of grace is watered by the Spirit of life. Jesus made clear that becoming a child of God is a matter of our spiritual birth, and that this is something only the Spirit of God can do. So think of this question: what does being a Christian mean in one's daily life as he's being led by the Spirit? Well, it means to be led by God's Spirit, because our change of status has become accomplished by the Holy Spirit who lives within every genuine believer. And it means that he will lead us with that same Spirit. We will be growing in holiness. We will be recognizing that the Holy Spirit works within us internally. Paul is not talking about our minds being set on what the Holy Spirit having an obligation to live according to the Spirit rather than according to the sinful nature. One man goes on and says, this verse, Paul is talking about what God's Spirit does internally within the Christian. So here's another question. Ask yourself the question: what does the Holy Spirit do internally in my life, or we'll just say in the Christian's life, to lead them? We are led by the Spirit of God. God tells us that plainly. This evening, you are being led by the Spirit. You are being led. You not have been, will be. You are being led. Boy, when we look at it that way sometimes, it's really important what we do, isn't it? And it's really important that when there's something that God gives us a responsibility, it's really important because we're being led to do that. He's the one that brought it in our path. And so what does it mean? Well, let me suggest three things. He renews our mind. How does he do that? You tell me. How does he renew my mind? It's simple. How does the Spirit of God renew my mind? By the Word of God. by reading and being taught by the Spirit from the Bible. That's the whole reason, remember, we've talked about before, he's given us the Spirit in 2, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 2, or 1 Corinthians 2, but it's talking there about he's given us the Spirit so that we might know him. The Bible, a person who considers himself to be led by the Spirit, he considers that, I'm led by the Spirit, apart from the Bible, will soon fall into what? Error and excess sin. There is one man, at one time when preachers were together, and I've heard this before, that, and I've seen it experienced, that when a man is really obsessed about a certain sin and always preaching against it, watch out what he's doing in private. In other words, I've seen different ones, they really were always preaching against essential things. Always. I mean, they'd be evangelists and they're preaching at it and preaching at it and preaching on it. By the way, should we preach against that? Of course, it's Scripture. And do you know what has happened? They kept preaching on preaching, they got involved in it. Now, that wasn't the Spirit of God leading them, but they acted like it was. Because they preached on this all the time, what happens? They go into error. We go into error when we do not depend wholly on God's word, the whole counsel of God. Not only did he renew our mind, but he stirs our heart. The Holy Spirit works upon us by stirring or quickening our heart to love God. In fact, in Romans 8:14, where it says you're led by the Spirit, those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Verse 15 says they cry, Abba, Father. In other words, not only we're the Spirit of God influenced by renewing our mind, but he stirs our heart. Therefore, the Bible says, therefore, and then we see that he also directs our will. The Bible says, therefore, my dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and do according to his good pleasure. There's the Spirit leading you. It's God working in you to do the work of his good pleasure. There's the Spirit of God leading you. You get it from God's word. But it will direct your will. He leads us by redirecting and strengthening our wills. The activity of the believer is the evidence of the Spirit's activity, and the activity of the Spirit is the cause of the believer's activity. If you're trying to please God, it's because the Spirit of God's working within you. Are you trying to please God tonight? Do you want to do that? Guess what? That's being led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God's leading you to please him. It's not you that wants to do that. That's not natural. It's the Spirit of God that has already drawn you, and now he dwells within you. And you want to please him? Well, then, you know, we say, well, I don't have to do this. Why not? Just by you saying, well, I don't need to do that. For instance, that man that says, well, I don't need to go to church to know I believe God. Guess what he needs to do? He probably needs to go to church, huh? So he'd learn more about God. And most of the time we say, yeah, but I don't need to. Usually we say we don't need to. We're rationalizing because we don't want to. Not that we don't need, we don't want to. And we see that the Spirit of God in us, he wants you. Just the fact that you want to please God and try to be obedient to him. And so what's that application we have? Well, a believer who is not actively involved in resisting evil and obviously seeking to do good is not being led by the Spirit. As much as a believer is being led by the Spirit, you're not being led by the Spirit to do wrong. There we go back to verse 17, the conflict where you're yielding to the flesh instead of walking the Spirit. Remember, we can flip verse 18 and 16, being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. If you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not. He's already leading you. What is the Spirit of God? He's leading you to obey him and not obey the flesh. And we see that the faithful believer is not an observer, but a good soldier of Jesus Christ who is engaged in the active service of the Lord. A believer can accomplish nothing for the Lord on his own power. But on the other hand, the Spirit can accomplish little through a believer apart from the believer's submission and commitment. That means there's a submission and a commitment that you and I have to have. It's the balance of our yieldedness and the commitment with the Spirit. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So to be led by the Spirit is walking in the Spirit. We do not walk along with him as an equal, but we follow his leading as our sovereign. And where do we find that again? In his word. Believers do not need to pray for the Spirit's leading because he's already doing that. Right now, he's leading you. You're going to leave here, and he's going to be leading you as a believer. It's not doormat. It's how you yield and commit to it. You see, the moment he enters, he begins to lead God's newborn child. Newborn child in the way of freedom. He's leading you in holiness and in truth, in fruitfulness, in access to God in prayer, in assurance, in witnessing, and submitted in joy. So what's that practical result? But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not what? Under the law. So it's really talking again about those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God by his grace. Because if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But if you're not led by the Spirit, you're under the law. And so we see there's freedom from law. It doesn't imply freedom to do whatever we please, though. Look at verse 13, again, in Galatians. It says, don't make that an occasion, your flesh, and that your liberty an occasion to feed the flesh. So what do we see? We see instead we got to live on another plane altogether because we have, number one, truth. Understand that we have truth as opposed to falsehood. We have grace opposed to works. We act out of love as opposed to being subject to the law. In other words, there's the want to instead of the have to. We are supervised by the Spirit as opposed to being supervised by the law. So the solution is not to pit our will against the flesh, but to surrender our will to what? The Holy Spirit. We don't pit ourselves against it. We're no match. We know that. What do? We submit ourselves to his will. And then it says that the Holy Spirit says, but if you willingly are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. The Holy Spirit then writes God's law on your hearts. Hebrews 10:16 tells us that he writes it on our heart. Well, let's look at it. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 14. For by one offering he's perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write unto them. This is taken right out of Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. And he says, what is he doing? As you're a believer and he's being led by them, what is he doing? He's putting what on your hearts? He's putting the Bible on your heart. He's putting the law there. It's right there. Your conscience will be according to the Spirit of God that he's putting on your heart. And that's the desire. And by putting, that's the desire that we have to obey him. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Being led of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit are opposites of yielding in the desires of the flesh. It goes from the have to the want to. So having freedom from the law becomes our focus to the Lord. And so what are those blessed results? Those Number one, those who are being led by the Spirit breathe the exhilarating and invigorating air of the moral and spiritual freedom. In other words, what is we talking about? The first result of this being led by the Spirit, we're not of the law. It's that they will obey precepts with the gladness of their hearts. Again, I want to. You mean I don't get to do that? No, I don't have to do that. And did you know that that's written on the tablet of your heart? Because you're being led by the Spirit. It's written on the very tablet of your heart. So the blessed result is that you'll obey God's word with gladness. Oh, here I go again. All of those Baptists or those other Christians, they have all these laws and all these rules. No, they don't. What they have is the Spirit of God, someone that's genuinely saved. And it's written upon their hearts from God's word. And that's the flesh talking, because they don't want to come. They're not being led by the Spirit. Probably because they're not what? Saved. And so then number two, the results, they will detest and vigorously, they'll oppose the works of the flesh. Let me just ask you tonight. Do you oppose the works of the flesh in your life? Does it just bug you when you give in? I know you never give in. How many times have you just got disgusted with someone? That person. And then afterwards you go, I don't want to be that way. Lord, forgive me. But that's what being led by the Spirit is. That's what will happen. You'll be opposed to the work of the flesh. You'll try not to, and when you do, because of that conflict, you let up on the joining them part and committed to them, and you're going to say, oh, Lord, I'm looking forward to your return. But God, I'm here for a while, and you have me however long you have me here on this earth. Forgive me and help me to grow in that and stop it. So not only they obey God's word with gladness, but they detest and oppose the work of the flesh. We see that in verse 17. And the works of the flesh are verse 19 through 21. Look down at verse 24 of chapter 5. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They've crucified all those things of what we're going to be talking about next week, verses 19 through 21. And not only the focus we have on the results of this freedom from the law, and the practical result that we have is being led by the Spirit, is that they love the Word, whose very author is the Spirit of God. They love the Word and the triune God that's revealed in all of His attributes. In other words, they delight in the world. Do you delight in God's word? Do you love God's word? Think of Psalm 119. You have any questions about that? Look at the believer in Psalm 119. And Psalm 1:2, blessed is the man, he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You want to be strong and not let the wind blow you over? Be planted by that tree, by the rivers of water, healthy? Then you delight yourself in God's word. By meditating, by having a mental conversation with you and God every day. And then we see that it also, we see that one that is led by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit abounds in their lives, which we'll be looking at in the days to come in verses 22 to 23. But also, we'll look at verses 8 through 10 of Galatians 6. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we will reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, as especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then we see not only that the Holy Spirit will abound, will grow in our lives. In other words, we'll be more joyful. We'll have our temperance will grow. Our loving kindness will grow. Our patience, our endurance. Then also, the freedom, you'll have the freedom of access in approaching the throne of grace. That will grow in your prayers. It also goes hand in hand with the testimony of the Spirit in our hearts. It assures us that we are the children of God as you're led by the Spirit. It assures us that we're the children of God. And then finally, it will strengthen your testimony to the world, of which will be glory to the triune God. So, the verse there, if ye be led by the Spirit of God, for you're not under the law. That's a confidence that you and I have as believers, that we're being led by the Spirit of God. And there's victory. I mean, you can work, you can go to work tomorrow, or whatever you do tomorrow, you can be confident as a believer, God's leading you. This is what he's got for me. And so he's leading me. So as I think of him, how should I do that job, for instance? As Christ would. Otherwise, we're falling short. We'd walk as Christ walked. How would he do that job? He would be all out, wouldn't he? He'd be going. And so we know that we're led by the Spirit, then that will give us more of a joy for that job as we delight in that, as we're led by the Spirit. What a confidence that we can have tomorrow. This is what God has for me. You go to the grocery store. You can have confidence and delight in that as God's given you monies to get the food that you need. You can delight in that. You're being led by the Spirit of God. Well, that, no. Don't take that lightly. It's the Spirit of God that lives. You are being led as a believer. You're being led by the Spirit. Well, what about all the others that aren't believers? Well, that's God's common grace in their lives that he's given. But you have something special that you can delight in it. It's sort of like, you know, when you go to Stop and Shop and the little thing says on there, are you okay? Are you okay with this price? It says on it. And a lot of times I turn to him and says, so whenever we always okay with it. We wish it always be less. They laugh and we talk about it. But isn't that the truth? We praise the Lord that God's given us that we can do it. And would you say prices go up and up and up? Well, you know what? God's leading us to different things, and we're still being able to eat. And sure, there might be some things now, because going up and up, that you can't do or get. Just remember, the Spirit of God's always leading you. And he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We can be confident of that. So we are. If you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. You're under grace, not under law. And so there's a excitement and delight that you can have as a believer because of the Spirit of God that indwells within you as you walk in that Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful thought? As we look at life a little differently than the world looks at it, we can have a peace that passes all understanding, that will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our dear Heavenly Father,